Welcome back to Cool Science Radio. I'm Bruce Kasanoff, and I'm here with John Wells. Our next guest this morning is Michael Ruzek, also known as the Powder Buoy. Michael predicts snowstorms and the Wasatch Back 2 weeks in advance, and the way he does it is by watching the NOAA buoy 51101 off the coast of Kauai. Michael has figured out that when the buoy hits a certain swell height, that is, the waves get bigger, a winter storm will hit us 2 weeks later. He's with us this morning to recap the season we just went through. Michael, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sure. And so, great season, unbelievable season. What do you think? How did it go for you and the buoy and its success?
One of the better seasons I've seen in quite a long time. Just slightly below the 2010-2011 season. But, when you can ski more powder days by a long shot than groomer days, for me, that's kind of a win. So
that's goodness.
That's really goodness. Yeah.
So it's I've been aware of the buoy for I guess several years at least now.
Right.
And I mark it on my calendar, and then I go through this process of as we get 3 or 4 days out. So I actually do. I'm a writer by trade, so I kind of say, well, that morning I'm going to try not to schedule anything.
Yep.
And it works brilliantly.
That's what I do too.
For that purpose, and then get 3 to 4 days out and you see, did it really transpire? You want to talk a little bit about what happens in between? So the buoy can only tell us so much, right?
Right.
So it tells us the conditions are ripe for, how would you explain that?
Yeah. Well, the buoy really is an indicator showing low pressure coming our way from, a lot of our storms generate in Alaska. And they kind of swoop down and come across the top of Hawaii. And so really, we're just looking at low-pressure systems coming through. And just by the nature of how far it is and how quickly the storm is moving, it takes about that 2 weeks in time period. So something that I have added in, so the 2 weeks was great to basically put that marker out on the calendar, as you said. And then recently, I started adding in data from the U of U Atmospheric Sciences Department. That they do a pretty good job at doing about a 7 day out forecast.
Right. So this year I've seen you have, maybe this is what you're talking about, you have these charts that then you draw on.
Right.
You know, looks good here. Excuse me. Could be, 12 inches here. And that's what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
And so that is actually taking it, you're actually going past the buoy now to.
To closer in to fine-tune the data. So now it's a matter of, okay, we know that there's a storm or hope that there's a storm coming in. Where is it going to direct hit? Is it going to be Utah? Will it be Jackson? Will it be a southwest flow and hit Deer Valley, Brighton, and Park City better? Mm-hmm. So that's where that – and how much snow is coming too. So
and my perception is that this year was – better for the buoy because you didn't have these blocking highs that kept us from. Is that how you?
Absolutely. I think it was 90 some odd. I didn't do the math, but I would imagine that it was 90 some odd percent, if not higher.
That they actually came through.
Right.
Right.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're having a conversation with Michael Ruzek. He is the Powder Buoy, financial planner by day, Powder Buoy by night. For those listeners that are not familiar with Powder Buoy, how'd this whole thing start? How did you make this connection with this buoy?
It's a long distance love affair, really.
Yeah.
3,000 miles away. It was in 2003 or 4, a client of mine that lived in Hawaii part of the year. He was a surfer and Hawaiian canoe racer and lived part of the year here. And there's actually two different buoys that I track. And basically, if you're a surfer in Hawaii, you track these buoys as a course, just as we would track anything here, because it's showing swells coming in for the North Shore and whatnot. And so he noticed that there was kind of a correlation between storms that came through there, or at least the fact that the storms came that were coming through and creating the swells on the North Shore happened to also be the same mega low pressures that were coming out of Alaska. And so over years of tracking this thing, we've basically kind of fine-tuned it down to this 2 week two-week out deal.
And NOAA is such a cool organization, National Oceanographic Atmospheric, where you can interrogate any of their buoys around the world.
Right.
You can interrogate their library of ice samples in Antarctica and up in the northern poles, so you can do your own math in looking at all the data on, you know, the rate of change of CO2. And, you know, it's not just these scientists that are in this little silo that are producing things. We can go and we can get that information, and that's something a lot of other countries don't do, but we share this with everybody.
Right. It's all open source information.
Yeah, it's good. And I've asked you this before. I just wonder what other information is out there that we could interrogate or we could learn about in these big data sets that are out there that would completely surprise us, because we're learning new stuff every day. It's just fascinating. I mean, we're in the technology business here, so we love these big data shows that we do and some of the things that have been found, and this is certainly one of them.
I think one of the things that these buoys could be used for is really looking at some of the climate changes that have been taking place. I mean, if you look at the amount of extreme weather events that have been happening all over the world, not just, I mean, yes, we've had a great ski season here, but if you really look at whether it's rain events or snow events or dry weather events or whatnot, there's definitely something that's going on around the world. And, you know, whether it's, I mean, who knows, but it'd be interesting to use these this data to take a bigger picture. And I'm sure people are, but.
Yeah, and this is not scientific. This is anecdotal. A couple of friends of mine visited this week from Dallas, and my one friend, Rob, has now lived in Dallas. He moved there from Chicago 25 years ago. And the big story 25 years ago was that they had 8 days in a row of over 100-degree temperatures in August. And he said now it's a common occurrence to have 40, 45 days in a row over 100 degrees. So that's anecdotal.
Right.
But there's a lot of information out there, isn't there?
There is, yeah.
So just as an aside, this more of a less of a question, more of an anecdote. You're talking about sensors. What else we can do with? Years ago, Red Lobster, the restaurant chain, they do these like $12.99 all you can eat shrimp deals. And what they did was they figured out that if they tracked the sensors for the water temperature in the Gulf of Mexico, that then they could use that. You're in the financial business too. They could buy I forget puts or calls, but essentially options.
Right.
To lock in. So they say, wow, it's warmer this year, so there's going to be more shrimp, so prices will go down, so therefore we'll lock in those prices now. But it all comes from just taking advantage of the sensors that are increasingly out there. And so you've just taken it and turned it into
recreation. I'm looking for more of a pleasure
deal.
But there are actually weather derivatives that farmers and other people use whose livelihoods revolve around weather that they can kind of hedge out.
Right.
Weather to a certain degree.
So I'm curious. I write a lot about, I know this is Cool Science Radio, but I write about entrepreneurship. And I wonder if you could share to the degree you want to the, because I've kind of observed, I didn't know who you were, but I observed that you kind of have gotten more and more serious about the buoy and what you're doing with it. And how, do you think of this as a business? Do you just think of it as fun? Are you?
So it's definitely so it's something that's really turned into a passion, and now it's turned into a very small business, but I figured it's a way that I can teach some entrepreneurial skills to my kids. Mm-hmm. I have two kids, 10 and 12 years old. And so right now I just sell hats and some stickers, but I'll sell some t-shirts and whatnot. Really more so people are asking for it. And so I have them help me with pulling orders from the internet and printing right. labels and doing whatever and ship boxing things up. And so it's definitely, I'm trying to use it as a tool from that perspective, but really the biggest gain that I get from it is the fact that I get these great messages from people around the country that they've had this great day and thank you so much. And that's been really fun.
Do you pay attention? Do you know who the people are? Like they track the buoy, or you just know someone ordered from you?
So most of the people, there's definitely some people that I think I've had about 400 orders in the last 2 years or however long I've been selling stuff. And for the most part, there are people that I have no idea who they are from, literally from Maine to Florida to anywhere in the country.
Right. The and so just to go back to a little bit of the science thing. So the as we look around right now, we're looking out the window. You can see the tops of the mountains are still white. The snowpack this year is unbelievable, right?
So. It's 170% for our area and higher for other areas, I think, on average. So there's not a single area watershed that's under 135%. And on average, I think it's 160-some-odd percent, which is really good. And on the storm side, this year was kind of an easy year, too, because, A, like, as you mentioned, we didn't get that high-pressure blockage. And so at least at Alta, Ski Utah came out with this data a couple of days ago. It snowed on average every 7 days. So if you were here for a week, there was a pretty good chance that you got a storm. So I thought that was a pretty amazing a stat. And they hit, they were well over 600 inches for the year as well.
Oh, Snowbird, I just looked at 657 inches so far this year. And it's, I just got a weather alert that May 1st, there's supposed to be snow. So here, actually.
Right. It's about 6 years ago they had 700 inches and they were open till 4th of July. I don't know how long they're going to stay open this year.
I wouldn't be surprised if they keep that or reopen and do the little cloud chair or something for the 4th of July just for the novelty.
Hey, if you just found yourself on the dial, this is KPCW in Park City, Cool Science Radio. And if you're wondering what we're talking about, well, Michael Ruzek, our guest, predicts snowstorms in the Wasatch back a couple weeks in advance by watching a NOAA buoy 51100 off the coast of Kauai in the Hawaiian Islands. He's figured out when the buoy hits a certain swell height, a winter storm will hit 2 weeks later, 3,000 miles away in Park City. And, you know, Michael, everybody I talk to that I talk to said, oh, yeah, I love the snow buoy. And, yeah, it's great data. And, oh, yeah, we're having an awesome season and all that. But I'm sure there are people that give you a hard time that take this thing a little too seriously. Does anybody give you a hard time?
My wife's giving me a hard time right now because it's still snowing.
Yeah.
And she's like, make things stop.
Then we're going to blame the buoy, the snow buoy. Yeah.
But, you know, a couple of years ago, there were actually some, there were some people from the U of U Atmospheric Sciences group that, you know, basically just were kind of thinking, hey, who's this guy out here that's predicting weather and he's not a meteorologist, and so they were giving me a little bit of grief, but that's all water under the bridge, and so other than
we've taken care of those people,
no longer we're from New Jersey, so we have ways to take care of people that do it, you know. No, I talked to them and basically said, look, what is the worst thing that could possibly happen out of this? So someone goes out and goes skiing with their friends or family or just gets out on their own and it didn't snow that much, that you're still outside, you're still having a good time on the mountain. That doesn't really seem like, you know, it's not a hurricane that where someone might lose a life or something. This is just a matter of trying to get people outside to have a good time.
Yeah. When I first moved here, I was sort of a bluebird skier where I'd go out on these really nice days, and my friends got me into skiing in storms, and I absolutely love that. And even when the visibility's severely restricted, when you're out there in a storm and you're powder skiing, it just doesn't get any better than that.
It's the best type of snow, in my opinion.
How long have you been skiing?
Since I was three, so 40 years.
Mm-hmm. And are you actually from New Jersey?
I am.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then you do know about leg breaking and stuff like that.
not to generalize at all.
Leg breaking on ice, the ice coast, as they call it.
So the ice coast, yeah.
That's where I really enjoy skiing powder days versus Gruber days. Not to say that there's anything wrong with sunny, beautiful days.
It's kind of funny. Sometimes you're out there and you're skiing on a Gruber day, and you get down to the bottom of the lift, and someone says, wow, did you go through that icy patch? And I said, what icy patch? Mm-hmm. You know, I remember being on the top of Wildcat, and there would be sheer ice for 200 feet that was about 3 or 4 inches thick, and we'd be digging in to get an edge so we wouldn't kill ourselves. I don't think people out here understand what ice is.
Right.
It's completely different.
It is. I mean, I think we get a little bit of ice on the front end with the man-made snow, but other than that, it's pretty minimal.
Yeah.
So I think I want to give you a compliment because, like, to me, the fact that the buoy exists and you publicize it, it lets us pay attention to the weather in a different way, meaning that it's 2 weeks out, the factors are already coming together that's going to change our weather here. And most people, I don't think that's in their head. That's not in the front of their consciousness, that this is not like, okay, well, you wake up and it gets wet over there. It's actually these very long cycles that transpire on the Earth.
Right.
And they are not random. You know, they get a little random at times, but they are predictable based on much longer term than we're used to doing. So I really think that that's a great contribution to the public consciousness.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And Brian McInerney a few years back, this is just crazy.
That the National Weather Service guy.
We had our chief hydrologist for the state, and he said, this is crazy that we would even think about looking at something 2 weeks out, that for the most part we look at 5 days out maybe. And then after having coffee, he's like, you know, I think you might be onto something here, so let's take a look at this. And again, I've tried not to make it super scientific, because a lot of it really is, I really enjoy and relish the fun element of it. And so, I haven't done like empirical statistical analysis on all of this or anything like that. But that's part of that also is what makes it fun.
I'd argue that that's your role, is that to popularize science and technology, and just mainly because you can have more fun if you know that, you know, scheduling that meeting that you never thought about is going to be a massive powder day. I'm very grateful for it.
Right.
You know, that gives you some flex, but we just do it the next day. You know?
That's right. So,
yeah. Yeah, you're a junior scientist. I hope you belong to Silicon Slopes.
I do, the one up
good.
Here.
Yeah, good, the chapter in Park City.
And actually, what's funny is on the science side, I had a follower of mine, Bo Parent, who's a great guy down in Salt Lake. He sent me this online class that Harvard puts on for backyard meteorology. So who knows, by next year, I'll be a Harvard graduate.
You can double your rates then, yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Always good to see you again.
And what a great year. I mean, banner year for us up here. So.
We're all still smiling. It was just
and it's
great.
Not over yet.
No, it's not.
Alto's open this weekend. Snowbird will be open for a while, so
yeah,
you can still make it out.
Well, as my friend said, I'll just sort of quote him. I feel the same way. I sort of declared victory on the last day of skiing here in Park City a couple weeks ago. You know, I haven't killed myself. You know, I haven't hurt myself. I'm gonna start swinging the golf club and see what happens with that sport. But it was a great season, that's for sure.
It was.